The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
This week on the Hard Shoulder Health Check, we're going to take a closer look at ADHD. And what better way to hear about it than from somebody who actually lives with it? Enda Murphy is, of course, our regular psychotherapist and director of seeme.ie. And this evening, instead of giving his professional advice on a topic, he's going to share what it's like having ADHD. Hi, Enda. How are you?
How are you? How are you, Mark? How are you keeping?
Not too bad. Okay, ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity.
Hyperactivity disorder, yeah.
Right. And how long have you known that you had it?
I was, believe it or not, I was working as an emergency room nurse, which is very relevant to the conversation here, because when we come down to the kind of jobs that people with ADHD excel, all right, working in an emergency room where you have to think fast on your feet is one of those jobs we excel. But I was in America, I was in New York City, and I was working in an emergency room. And it was my boss who actually pointed it out to me one day. I said, Andy, you know you have ADHD. And at this stage, ADHD wasn't really understood. It was just more a term. I always thought it was just mad. I thought it was just different.
What age were you, Enda? I was 28. What age am I now?
I'm 56. So this was 1991, 92. All right. And she actually pulled me back and she said, you know, you have ADHD. And I said, how do you know? And she pointed out a couple of the ways I used to do things. And the reason she actually realized it was she had ADHD herself. And when she actually pointed it out to me, and then I said, God, that's the reason I am the way I am. So I investigated it more. And I investigated and I explored it much more, all right? And I suddenly started realizing this is the reason I react the way I do. But unfortunately, when I went to look at the books and I said, well, there's an awful lot of stuff here about ADHD that doesn't actually make sense to me. And it's, you know, and I'm not this way because of my ADHD. Like I say to these days, I says ADHD was never a problem for me. My problem was constantly being told that I must be like you, which is as damaged for me as it is for, say, you like kind of the way I would explain it is, imagine you're a woman living in Victorian England, where women are viewed through a man's eyes. So if you behave differently to a man, you behave differently to others. We'll say you're hysterical because you're a woman and you have a uterus. The Latin word for uterus is hysteria. And so we'll call it hysterical. Now, instead of learning how to be a woman and excel using your own unique skills, you're taught that you actually have a woman disorder. And the problem for those of us who have ADHD and for most of the symptoms that we have, it is nothing to do with the attention deficit, which we definitely have. It's nothing to do with the hyperactivity, which we definitely have. It's the fact that some bright spark has decided we have a disorder. And at a conference one time, I remember back, it was around, I think it was around the year 2000, we were at the DSM Five was being discussed, which is this massive big tome, which kind of diagnoses everything that could be wrong with your mental health. And they were talking about ADHD and how they were changing these tests. And I put up my hand and I asked the fellow who was doing it, he was an American, and I said, how many people with ADHD did you actually have on your review panel or did you actually talk to before you came up with these conclusions? And the answer was none. They had never spoken to any. We were literally a subject that was out there that they were describing. Now, I didn't share at that time that I actually had ADHD because in those days, you know, it was something you didn't share. You learned to live behind a wall. Mm. And unfortunately, things haven't changed much today.
Okay. And I tell you, before we get on to how you dealt with it and how people dealt with you and what the attitudes were, let's do the science bit first of all. Describe what ADHD is and how it influences and affects people's behaviour who have it.
Now, the thing about the first thing you got to understand, there are certain symptoms which most definitely I do have. So the first one would be it's described as difficulty in concentrating. All right. Because we don't concentrate similar to other people. Now, if people listening here have anybody belong to them, go on to a website called Attitude, ADDITUDE. It's written by people with ADHD for people with ADHD. And what it is, you will see a load of symptoms. So theoretically in DSM-5, you have difficulty in concentration, you have impulsivity, you have hyperactivity. You're supposed to have academic problems, you're supposed to have relationship problems, and you're supposed to have behavioural problems. The reality is that, yes, there are some of those symptoms most definitely you have with ADHD. Because I'm working as a psychotherapist and I see lots of kids coming into me now with ADD, and most of it is undiagnosed. Most of them, they have never had an idea that this was the problem. They were just taught that we're bold and they were conduct disordered. So the things like the academic, the relationships, the behavior, they are nothing to do with ADHD. They are to do with an abnormalization process that we end up living in a world where we never learn how to be ourselves. And it's a bit similar to taking, say, a gay man and putting him into a straight world. He learns to live behind the world because he knows he's different, but nobody ever teaches him how to understand that the way he is. They always keep telling him.
Or tells him that it's all right.
No, nobody tells him it's all right. We will use, the language has actually changed. So we'll say, oh yeah, it's okay to be not okay, but you're still disordered. Now, if I turn around to a woman and I say, by the way, you have woman disorder, then I've, you know, and I write about this in my first book, it is the main reason that brings people to see me. If you come to me because you have a problem with concentration, then yeah, fine, I'll show you how to concentrate. But if you come to me believing that you're abnormal because you don't concentrate like your schoolmates, then everything I try to do, you will see it as not trying to just learn how to concentrate, but to try and be normal. And the more normal you will try to be, the more abnormal you're going to see yourself as being. And most of the symptoms that we have, the academic, the behavior, you know, the kind of things that go down, like we talk about oppositional behavior, and that would be the one that most kids would be sent to me. And it's, we have ADD, which is attention deficit disorder. And you have ADHD, where there's hyperactivity is the predominant feature. And unfortunately, ADHD is seen as socially unacceptable, as it impacts on the orderly running of schools and things like that. So we're seen as deliberately, and even if with the diagnosis of ADHD, we're seen as deliberately challenging authority. And unfortunately, some schools, teachers and parents and people in society take this personally.
Yeah, it's a classic case of you're the square peg and you don't fit in the round hole. Now, the round hole isn't wrong and the square peg isn't wrong, but the square peg is made to feel wrong.
Exactly. The square pegs me through. So we live our lives constantly trying to defend ourselves. Because if I was missing a leg, you could say, okay, well, you know, you're not able to run around the pitch. If I was gay, that would be accepted. But because my behavior, and one thing we do have, and it's a characteristic, is that we're pig-headedly stubborn. If you actually come after us, we dig in the heels, and unfortunately, that's it. And I, you know, and I would have walked myself into a lot of trouble over the years like that. But what happens is that when somebody happens, and we either say through pure inattention, or I'm giddy in class, or something like that, somebody will then bring in the code of behaviour. And unfortunately, codes of behaviour are usually focused on overcoming a management problem for the school rather than teaching us how to excel with the skills we have.
The other thing too, ended by the way, and I look, obviously, I don't know enough about. But I've done enough interviews on the subject over the years to know a few facts. One of the things, one of the common traits of ADHD people is that they're exceptionally bright, and they know they're exceptionally bright. And if you are exceptionally bright and you know it, and you're being told by somebody who's not as bright as you and who doesn't understand you and has started from a negative viewpoint of you, then of course you're not going to take them seriously. You have a very interesting, on the subject of concentration, there's an interesting quote from you, which is that I, who don't have ADHD, have a brain like a cart horse. I concentrate on one thing at a time. You have a racehorse because you can concentrate on multiple things at one time. So the fact that you're doing a whole load of different things at one time doesn't mean that you're not, that you're flighty or that you're flibberty gibbet or that you're, you know, haphazard or whatever. It means that you're capable of doing that.
I believe it or not, I'm one of the, you know, a man who can multitask. And we will literally multitask. So, you know, like I write psychology books and I break editors' hearts because whereas normally one person would write chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, chapter four, I will write all 20 chapters at the same time. So I'll keep chopping from chapter one until I find something that, oh, hang on a second, that would fit in chapter 20. And I'll go to chapter 20 and I'll start writing it there until I run out of an idea or I get another idea and I'll go to back to chapter five. So I'm constantly going back and forth, going back and forth. And, you know, and people will often recognize that they actually have ADHD. Is if you have to clean your house, how do you clean your house? Do you start off by starting with the kitchen? And when you're finished the kitchen, you go into the living room, or do you start off and then go to the bathroom? Somebody with ADHD will start off in the kitchen, but then they find something that has to go to the sitting room. So they'll bring that to the sitting room and then they'll start cleaning the sitting room until they find something that has to go to the bathroom. And run off to the bathroom. So if you, you know, there are certain signs that you always know you have ADHD. But the actual concentration we actually have is that we actually have better concentration than so-called normal people. We just don't concentrate the same way as you do. We concentrate in different ways. And that's why people with ADHD tend to be incredibly creative and well able to think.
I was just going to think, there's so many artists I know who approach what they do and how they do it in that way. You know, they're writing a song. They might have a, a line of the verse.
Yeah.
They do that. Then they move to, so they'd have a lyric. Then they'd move to the music for that. Then they've got to get a chorus.
Yeah.
And so it's like doing a jigsaw, right? You start with the bits you have and the bits that you can fit together. And then you have another bit and you go, well, oh, hang on a second. I have a couple of bits here now. So I've got a corner in one side and a corner in the other. And eventually, you know, it is completely random and haphazard. I mean, you don't just start at one corner and go, I have to keep doing this piece, this jigsaw, until I find all the pieces that fit in this corner and build it that way. And if you tried to do it that way, people would think you were mad.
Of course they would. And when a child actually does that and he suddenly realises, you know, he's getting to, and they'll say, oh, he's distracted. And the way it is that he must, it's a bit like trying to teach somebody who's left-handed with to teach right-handed. Like when I was researching for this, I found, believe it or not, that whilst left-handed people account for about 10% of the population, they actually account for 50% of the high sports achievers.
Mm-hmm.
50% of them are so. And we're the exact same. If you go into the likes of the Dunleary Art and Design, all these places, you'll find that most of the people who are actually in there have some form of ADD or some form of ADHD.
And I'm old enough to have been in school when if you were left-handed or you wrote left-handed, it was beaten out of you.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And listen,
You know, we could do 2 hours with you and longer, but I want to, and there's other things that we didn't manage to get to procrastination, oppositional behaviour. But what I want to do is, if people have ADHD, or if they suspect they have ADHD, what should they do? Give me a kind of a quick 5 tips on how to navigate your way through life.
Okay, this is going to be very hard for some people, especially people who have maybe children with ADHD, because the only way I learned to do it was, don't try and be neurotypical. You're in a world that at some level may make some allowances for you, but they will never accept you as you are, so don't even bother trying. Secondly, stop spending all your energy trying to be accepted by people who won't accept you. All you'll do is abnormalize yourself more, so you've got to go out and find your own tribe. And eventually, as adults, we do find our own tribe. However, you do need to understand how the neurotypical world works and how to respond to it, because if you don't, you'll always be fighting the system and you will lose. So learn how it works, use it how to get what you want. Understand your own identity. It's the same if you're gay. It's the same if you're, it doesn't matter what you are. How, the reason we're coming out of the woodwork now, the autistic community came out about 5 years ago, and we've learned this from the lesbian and gay community. So understand your own identity. See what you have that other people don't. Hone these skills and use them to give you the competitive edge and excel in life. Ignore people who criticize you, because everybody, if you stand on their toes, oh, you should be this, that, and the other. Let them be the ones who go for therapy to deal with their own intolerance. All right. And things that you will actually achieve will be jobs where you are well able to focus on, you know, kind of excelling jobs that require people to be able to work on their own initiative and to be able to think incredibly fast on your feet. So take those skills that you have, learn how to hone them, because you can't go with a million ideas at once. You do need somebody in the background who's going to calm you down. All right. Otherwise you'll go off the rails. But I remember going to a meeting with the CME program when we were looking for funding, and myself and one of the people that was with me, who's also ADHD, it was gas because we were sitting there and the fellow was listening to us as if we were completely mad, because we were all sitting there, we were going international with this thing. And he was saying, hang on a second, come back to Ireland. What are you going to do next week? So, you know, in the CME program, there's a number of us have all these ideas. And if you want to brainstorm in a computer or in a company, get all the actual people with ADHD into a room and just let them off. They'll come up with the most wild and wacky ideas. And then what you do is you go through them. And we have Rachel Prendival, who then sits me down and says, now, Enda, we're going to focus on this, this, and this, and this. But it means then that she's actually allowing me to do this. And, but that's my experience.
That's been brilliant. I was actually trying to figure out how many times you took a breath in all of that. I don't think I heard you take one. It's a physiological wonder that you did it. That was Enda Murphy there, our psychotherapist. It is ADHD Awareness Month. And go to nosayme.ie if you want more information or where you need to be pointed to. Thank you so much. Now, throughout the programme today, we've been asking, if Greece is sexist, and the view of our listeners has been, I think, overwhelmingly, no, it's not. And even if it is, it's past. Get over it. Move on. So how else can we end today's show than with the woman and the man of the hour herself, Olivia Newton-John, accompanied by John Travolta. It's You're the One That I Want from Greece. Talk to you tomorrow at 4. Bye.